Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Maseches Nida, Daf Nun Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins five lines from the top of Daf Nun Vav. In our last discussion, there was a mention made in the Tanaic source at the top line of this particular Umud, that blood that comes from a man's male organ does not create tumah. Here the Gemara wants to know, what is the source for that information? Dam ha-yotze mipi ho'amo mino lon detor. From where do we know that blood that comes from the amo, the male organ, that it is tor? Tesanya, we have a Tanaic source which deals with this. Yochol yehe dam hayotze mipiv umipiho amo tameim. Could it be that blood that comes from the mouth of a zav? The zav is an individual who is quite tome. What about the blood that comes from his mouth, or mipiho amo, from his organ, tameim? Will that make him tome? Talmud lomar, Zovo tome hu. Hu tome. From this pasuk we learn that the zav is tome. However, v'ein dam hayotze mipiv umipi ho'amo tome elo tohor. The blood or that comes from his mouth or that comes from his organ, they are excluded from this pasuk. They are tohor. In other words, when we were asking, could it be that the blood that comes from his mouth or from his organ are tomei? No, we say in the pasuk he is tomei, but not the blood that comes from his mouth or from his amo. They are not tomei; rather, they're tor. The Gemara asks the epuch ano. Rashi explains the epuch ano. Vizos larabois dam. The hu lahoitzi meiraglayim. This is a reference to that which we saw in our previous discussion. Also, you can note the arrows that we had on the upper part of the page on the right hand column. You'll notice that we learned that the dam hayotzi pio amo was tohor, that we just learned, and that was from the word hu in this pasuk of Zovo Tomehu. However, we have the word vizos, the second arrow on the page, pointing to the line that says that we're larabois meme raglov, that we're marve, that we include as a source of tuma the urine from the that comes from the zav. So maybe we should switch things around and say that the word vizos comes to include the blood, and the word who comes to that we, the word who, namely that we just learned in our source today, that comes to exclude the mei raglayim. So the Gemara answers, and we have a marking here that is worth noting. The double underline with dots in it highlights answers given by Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So it comes here in stages. Here is one, and a little bit later we will see stage two. So, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shuman ben Yochoi, Dumya Darok. How do we know that the Mei Raglayim is in fact Tomei and not the blood? Well, because we parallel things to the saliva. And we know that the saliva that comes from a Zav is Tomei. Ma Roik Shemis Agil V'yotze, just like the saliva accumulates, literally it turns into a ball. Misagil, the word igul, is something circular, but it, for our purposes, it means it accumulates, and then once it's accumulated, it exits. Af kol shemis agil v'yotze, so to any other substance that has the roke characteristic, the saliva characteristic, where first it accumulates and then it comes out. Yotzadam, to the exclusion of blood, she'en mis agil v'yotze. When bleeding takes place, it drips out. It doesn't first accumulate and then exit. The Gemara asks, and this question lasts, you'll see, a couple of lines, since we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara asks, V'hare cholov shebe'isha, the milk produced by a woman, shemis agel v'yotze, that does accumulate before it comes out. The Omar Mar, and we have learned earlier, cholov shebe'isha, metametumas mashkin, the blood that comes from, the milk that comes from a woman that is tome. So the milk is a substance that has the potential of tumas mashkin. That means that it could metama other food or drink, but not a person. Tumas mashkin in, abol loy tumo hamura. It can metama other food, but it cannot be metama tumor hamura, a serious tumor, which means metama a person. Roke, we know, is the roke that comes from a zav, is metama person. But let's say you have the milk coming from a woman who is a nida or a mitzoras, the milk coming from a tame woman will not metama a person. So we see that misagil v'yotze doesn't seem to be the characteristic that is responsible for making the liquids tome to the tune of being metama a person. Ela omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi dumya de roke. We go back to our comparison to roke. Ma roke misagil v'yotze v'choizu v'nivla. The nature of roke, of saliva, is that it accumulates before it comes out, but also it can be withdrawn. It's chozer v'nivla, it's reabsorbed. When a person, let's say, is not motzi it, when he doesn't spit it out, so he can swallow it, it reabsorbs it. That is the nature, those are the characteristics that are pertinent to the roke, and hence anything else that we want to learn from roke. Af kol misagil v'yotze v'choizu v'nivla. So too, anything else that has those characteristics. Yotza dam, to the exclusion of blood, she'eno misagil v'yotze. It doesn't have the characteristic of accumulating before it exits, hence blood from a zav will not be tome. Yotza cholav, also to the exclusion of the milk, shebe'isha, the woman's milk, she'af al pi shemisagil v'yotze, even though it does tend to accumulate before it exits, eino chozer v'nivla, it's not something that is withdrawn and reabsorbed. V'neilaf mizova, why not learn from zov? Ma zovo, in other words, instead of learning from roke, learn from zov. Ma zovo she'ein misagel v'yotze mitama af kol. Why not say, let's learn from the zov? Just like the zov is something that doesn't accumulate before it exits, so to anything else that does not accumulate before it exits. And if we were to accept this, we would say, well, blood that comes from the zov would be metama, just like the zov is. Omar Rava, mizovo lekolamelaf. We cannot learn from the zov material and its ability to become that, and its characteristic of tuma, shekein goreim tuma lacherim. The zov is a more severe liquid than all the others because it's that zov emission that causes the tuma to descend upon the individual. Which is not the case in any of the other liquids that we've been discussing. V'hasheretz, we had learned that the sheretz is something that is metame when it's lach, but not when it's dry. Omar Reish Lakish, sheretz shiyovesh, a dried sheretz. We should point out before we go further, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. Under the Nosei heading, Sheretz Yovesh, point one, Kulo Kayam, if you have the entire Sheretz that's intact, that's one thing, and then Rak Miktsoso Kayam, only part is intact, is another consideration. So Reish Lakish says that a sheretz that's yovish, the sheretz that's dried out, the shildo ikayemis, and its form is intact, tome, it is a source of tuma. The Gemara asks, v'anan tanan mitamin lachin vein mitamin yevashin, that they are mitama, the sheretz is mitama when it's fresh and not when it's dry. Amar Rabbi Zeira lo kashya. Ha bekulan, ha bemiksasan. Kulan, if the whole thing is intact, so then it will be mitame even if it's dry. If only part is intact, then it won't be mitame if it's dry. Tesanya, the Tanaic source, reveals this to us. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Bisna, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi, Rabbi Yitzchok, the son of Rabbi Bisna, quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi saying, Bohem. The word bohem is written in the context of Shrotzim, where it says kol hanogea bohem. Yochol v'kulon, does that mean that the whole thing is intact? Talmud lomar mehem. There's another pasuk that says, and Rashi quotes it, v'chol asher yipol olav mehem b'moisam yitma. So you have that pasuk mehem meaning part of them. So e mehem yochol b'mitzasan, if it says mayhem, does that mean that only if part is there, part of the sheretz is there? Talmud lomar bohem. Well, the whole thing has to be there. So at this point, we're in a quandary. We have to make up our minds. Are we to emphasize the entire sheretz is only then being tuma, or even part? The Gemara, the source answers, ha ketzad, how do we resolve this? Kan belach, kan biyovesh. If it's lach, if it's fresh, if it hasn't dried out, then even part of a sheretz will communicate tuma. If it's dry, then it will metame if the whole thing is there. Omar Rava, hani zivugi de mechuza, ki shildon kayemes temein. The zivugi is Rashi points out, is a tzav. A tzav is one of the shrotzim mentioned in the Torah. The shrotzim we didn't mention earlier, but there are eight creatures. They're small, stout-legged creatures that, when they are dead, they communicate tuma. One of them is the tzav, which is mentioned in Rashi. So these Rava refers to the Zavugi de Mechuza. These were dried tzavim in the town of Mechuza. When Kishildon Kamas, when their form is intact, Temein, they generate Tuma. V'yomre Shlokas, Sheretz Shinisraf, V'shildo Kamas, a Sheretz that's been exposed to a fire, that's been burnt, but its form is intact, Tomei. It is a source of tuma. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection. Nimsa sheretz soruf al gabi hazesim. If a dead sheretz or burnt sheretz is found on olives, v'chein matlis ha mehuha. A matlis is a piece of fabric that is mehuha, is dried out. Is Rashi says bluyov in your kevis. It's a rotting piece of material. And you find it in that form, they are tahorin. Shekol ha-tmeyes kishas mitzas mitziosan. When there's a question of tuma, and that was a question regarding this matlis, this piece of fabric, there was a question concerning its tuma. Nevertheless, we say this burnt sheretz or this rotting piece of material, they do not pose a tuma problem because they are judged as they are when you find them. In other words, if I find the sheretz that's burnt on Zesim, even though we know that a sheretz is metama in general, but a burnt sheretz is not, and I find a burnt sheretz on the Zesim, I don't assume that the sheretz was on the zeisim before it got burnt, but first it got burnt and then it fell on the zeisim, on the olives. So we say that the olives remain tohor. based on this principle that the issues of tumah are judged based on as they are when you find them. If I find it in a burnt state, I say that its initial contact with the zaysim was when it was already burnt. What do we see, though? We see that a burnt sheretz is not metame. So Reish Lakish a moment ago said that sheretz shenitzraf is a source of tumah. Amar Rabbi Zeira, lo kashi, there is no kashi here. Habe kulon, habe mitzason. Reish Lakish was speaking about a case of a complete sheretz. This Tanaic source is talking about a part of a sheretz. Tisanya, and we have the same Tanaic source as we saw above. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Bisna, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Bohem, the pasuk by sheretz used the word bohem, indicating a complete sheretz. Yochol bekulan, is there tumah only if it's totally intact? Tambalomar mehem, even if there's part of a sheretz. E mehem, yochol bemitzasan, does that indicate then only part is enough for tumah? Tambalomar bohem, indicating the whole thing. Ha ketzat, so how do I resolve this? Answer, kan b'she'eno soruf, and here the resolution is that if it's soruf, by the way, just a technical adjustment, when we said this is the same source as above, in the source above we saw the resolution of kan belach, kan biyovesh. Here the resolution is kan besoruf, kan besheinu soruf. But soruf could very well be parallel to the case of yovesh. If it's yovesh, or it's burnt, then only if it's complete will it be mitam, if the form is complete. If it's eno soruf, then even if the form is incomplete, it still will be a source of tumah. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a new geometric form. The diamond is featured, and in the outside, in our margin, we have the Nosei Mivneh heading. The diamonds represent Mekoros, sources, Lidvorim, Shemetamin, Lachen, Veloyevation. We had mentioned these items before, and we mentioned them in the context of things that are Metama, only if they're fresh and not dry. So the Gemara goes on, Zav, the Zov material, the Zov liquid that comes forth from a man, it's metama only if it's lach, dechtiv, ror, besoro. That word indicates, ror indicates something that is like rear, as Rashi says, which is something slimy. In other words, it's fresh, it's not dry. Kicho, venio, veroko, phlegm, and saliva. Dechtiv, ki yoruk, hazov, meaning ke'ein rok. And we learn from this pasuk these items as well. So rok is something that's saliva, so the other things that are derived from this pasuk also have to have that characteristic. Sheretz, the pasuk says, b'moysam omarachmona, when they are dead, or as they are in their death, which is ke'in misa, as they are when it dies. As soon as something dies, it still is damp, it's still fresh, and that is the point at which it's metame, but not if it's dried out. Shichvas zera, semen, haru'uya lehazriya, the word of shichvas zera indicates something that's able to procreate, and as such, that indicates to us only if it's still fresh. Some semen that's dried out is not capable of creating pregnancy. Nevela, a dead animal, is metama only if it's the nevela is dry, is wet, is fresh. Dechtiv ki yomus, as we saw just before with the word bemoisam, we see ke'ein misa, as it is when it died, when it's still fresh. Im yecholim lahashros. We had seen in the Mishnah that these various items, if they are dried out, we then evaluate if they could be soaked, and through the soaking they reassume a flexible, or call it a fresh form. Through soaking they regain their original flexibility. They, even though they're dry, they still will be metame. The Mishnah back on Nun Dalet Omid Beis made reference to these items that if they can be soaked, they and regain flexibility, so they will be metame. And it mentioned that the Mishnah had mentioned im yichoyum lahashrus v'lachsul k'mos shehein metame lachen u'metame yevashin v'kama yishri osan. How? What's the nature of the soaking? So the Mishnah said, "B'poishrin me'ais le'ais," in lukewarm water for 24 hours. Now, coming off of that, the Gemara here asks, "Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah." Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, "Tchilos of the soifel b'poishrin." During the 24 hours, are we insistent on the beginning and the end? The water temperature has to be considered lukewarm. Or only at the beginning of the soaking is the time that we're interested in it being lukewarm, and not necessarily at the end. Toshma, well, let's try to conclude that from the following Tanaic source, Desanya, Kamo hi shriyosan meposhrin, how long is the soaking in the lukewarm water? Yehuda ben Nekusa, Omer, me'es le'es, 24 hours, t'chiloso afal pi she'ein soifoi, only at the beginning it must be a warm, and not at the end. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, tzrichin shu poshrin, me'es le'es. They have to be lukewarm for the full 24 hours. So we see that the issue that was raised turns out to be a machlokes tanoim. If we look in the Rashi under the Dibur HaMaschil Yehuda ben Nekusa Oimer, he says, Rashi continues, Ein Tzorech Shiu Hamayim Poshen Basof Ochein Yu Al Hasheretz K'meis Le'es Af Api She'ein Sofon. So we're interested in it being on the Sheretz, even though at the end it's not lukewarm. V'kulo Hi De E Lo Hodar B'hochi Tohor V'af Al Giv De E Havu Poshen Kol me'es le'es have a hodar. Rashi was just explaining how Yehuda ben Nekusa represents a leniency. He is giving us a situation that had it been lukewarm for the full 24 hours, and the sheretz would have regained its flexibility, or any of these substances would have regained their flexibility. We're telling you that even though there was this potential for it regaining flexibility, it will not be metame unless it would regain its flexibility by having been in water that was cold at the end. So that here you have something that there was a potential for it to regain its flexibility, but We're not insisting on it having to be lukewarm for the entire time. So once again, if it would have regained the flexibility within 24 hours, had it been in lukewarm water, which is a greater chance of it regaining flexibility, that is not enough for establishing tumah. Only if it was, let's say, not dried out enough that it would have regained flexibility by being in water that was cold at the end, only then would we say there's tumah. But if it doesn't regain flexibility under such circumstances, it will not be metama, even though it could have regained flexibility had it been in lukewarm water the whole time. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Besar Hameis, Vechule. So when we glance back at the Mishnah on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, we see Rabbi Yosi said, Besar Hameis, Yovesh, the corpse flesh that's dry, the Eino Yochol Lahashrois, Velachzor, Lekamas, Jehoya, Tohor. Corpse flesh, as opposed to the Tanakama, as opposed to the opinion of the first opinion mentioned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi has a leniency that dried corpse flesh will not be metame, as opposed to the Tanakhama who said it would. Omar Shmuel, Tohor Milatame Bekezayas. He says that he qualifies Rabbi Yossi and says that the leniency of Rabbi Yossi, that dried corpse flesh, is Tohor. That means if you have only an olive quantity, Avol, if you have a greater quantity, Avol Metame Tumas Rekev. There is a tuma that's associated with decomposed corpse material that is called rekev, and if you have a tarvid is literally a spoonful, but it's a greater amount than a kezias, the corpse material will be metame. Tanya nami hochi. Rabbi Yossi omer besara meis shovesh. Rabbi Yossi says if you have dried corpse flesh, v'ein yochol lishrus v'lachsu l'kamos shehoya, and it cannot, through soaking, regain its freshness, tohor milatame b'gezayas. It will not be metame at the standard quantity that's associated with corpse meat, namely an olive quantity. So it won't be metame if you have a kezias. Avol metame tumas rekev. But this dried corpse flesh that cannot regain its freshness will nevertheless be metame tumas rekev. The Mishnah. Hasheretz shenimtza b'movui metame l'mafreya. A dead sheretz that's found in a movui. A movui is an alleyway. So anything that was in the alleyway is assumed to have had contact with this particular sheretz, and hence we say that there will be tuma in the movui lemafreya retroactively ad sheyomar, until you can say bodakti es hamovui hazev lo hoya bo sheretz, until you can say that, well, I checked this movui and I know there was no sheretz, o ad shas kibud, or until the last sweeping. So that if you, let us say, know that a week ago, you can say, I checked the movui out a week ago and there's no sheretz, so there won't be retroactive tuma back more than a week. But up till a week, retroactively, we will say there is tuma. V'chein kesem shenimsa b'choluk, and likewise with regard to a blood stain, which is associated with nida, which is a blood that's tomei, we say as well this retroactive concept. So kesem shenimsa b'choluk mitame l'mafreya, there will be retroactive tuma ad shiomar, until you can say definitively bodakti es acholuk hazev lo hoya bo kesem, I checked this garment out, the choluk is a garment, and there was no stain in it. So that if you can say, like we said before, a week ago I checked this garment out and there was no stain, so we'll say that there is the tuma, the retroactive tuma will not extend back more than a week. But since the last checking, we'll say that after you checked it, the stain came out and the blood flow came out causing the stain, and there will be retroactive tuma. So with regard to the garment, if there will be this retroactive tumah until he can declare, I checked it out, oy ad shas hakibus, or until the last washing, umetame bein lach bein yovesh, it will communicate tumah whether it's damp or it is dry. Rav Shimon Omer hayovesh metame lemafreya, something that's dry, a dry stain will metama retroactively. Valach eno metama. If it's fresh, eno metama. It won't metama retroactively. Elo ad shas she yehe yochol lachsuv lios lach. Only insofar as how much time that it still would have been wet. In other words, if I see I see something wet, I know that it couldn't be wet now. If it had been, let's say, a stain from yesterday, it would have dried out since then. If it's wet now, I would calculate, say, well, it's wet now, so it's probably no more than a half hour since it became it 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 it, uh, it it appeared on the garment. Otherwise, it wouldn't still be wet. So we'll say there's retroactive tumah for the last half hour. As we continue in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. We have a triangle. This triangle will highlight we'll call it the repetitive nature of the questions. We in the Mishnah had highlighted with a house form the word sheretz and the word kesem, two items that would generate tumah, but there was in our Mishnah we spoke about retroactive tumah until it'll go back until the time, in the case of the sheretz, there was sweeping, and in the case of the stain, the last washing of the garment. So these two questions will be focusing on these two points, and you'll see the similar nature of them, hence we highlighted them with the triangles. Ibaya laho ad shas kibud. The Mishnah had mentioned with regard to the alleyway that will have retroactive tumah until the last sweeping. So, do we say cheskosoi boduk, that cheskoso in this case means there is a status or assumption of checking, that when someone sweeps, you can assume someone checked the movui as he was sweeping? Odomo cheskoso miskabed, or do you say that with regard to sweeping, the assumption is that when you are sweeping, the sheretz would have been swept out, but not suggesting that there was an actual checking that took place at that time. So our question is then, that which we say that the retroactive tumah will not go further back in time to the time before the sweeping, what is the basis for that? Is it that we assume that when the sweeping is done, there is also a checking, and that's why we can say that any question of tumah before that doesn't arise, because he checked it out at that time? Or do we say that since he is sweeping, we assume that the sheretz would have been swept out as a result of his sweeping action, and therefore the sheretz, which is creating our problem now, we know there was this sheretz is the problem, but there's no previous sheretz that we have to worry about, because at the time of sweeping, any other shrutzim would have been swept out. Umai nafgamina. What is the practical difference between these two descriptions, that of cheskasoi boduk or cheskasoi miskabed? So the Gemara says, the Omar, a nafgamina would be where the person says, this is, we have a number one here, this is the first nafgamina, is the Omar kovid velo boduk, where the person can, if he declares, I swept, but I didn't do any checking at that time. E amris cheskasoi boduk, if you say that the reason there is no extended retroactive tumah is because we assume there was a checking at the time, well, holo bodak, but he just declared that he didn't do any checking, so that he was doing just a sweeping action, but there was no checking, therefore we're not going to limit the retroactive tumah to the last sweeping. E amris cheskosoi miskabe, if however you say that there is an assumed there is an assumption that the shrutzim get swept out, well, ha miskabed, so they were swept away. So to clarify this issue, the Gemara is raising these two possibilities, cheskosoi boduk versus cheskosoi miskabed. We should emphasize that the issue surrounds the issue of retroactive tumah because of this particular sheretz. This particular sheretz, are we saying that we're limiting the retroactive tumah to the shas kibud, to the time of sweeping? Is it because at the time of sweeping he checked it out and did not see this sheretz, and therefore this sheretz must have appeared later? Or is it that this sheretz would have been swept away through the sweeping action? And the Gemara is therefore asking, what is the nafkamina? So we say the nafkamina is a case where a person said, I swept but did not check. So if you say that the assumption of non-retroactive tumah beyond the time of sweeping is because there was an assumed checking, what he declares, but he declares here that he did not check. So this sheretz may have been there before, and hence we would have to declare tumah retroactively even more so than just the last sweeping. However, if you say cheskosoy miskaved, that shrotzim are automatically swept out when you do a sweeping action, so this sheretz would not have been there. It would have been swept away. So we don't have to go further back in time in our tumah declaration. Inami, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, another nafkamina would be the ish takach beguma, that this sheretz was found in a depression. I amris cheskosoy boduk. If you say that in the sweeping we assume people to do a checking, so man de bodak, one who checks, beguman ami bodak, he would have checked in this depression as well. I amris cheskosoy miskaved, that there is an assumption that things get swept away. So guma lo miskabda, the things in a depression are protected, will, if you will, from the sweeping action. So this sheretz might very well have in fact been there before the sweeping, and we would have to declare a retroactive tumah further back in time than the sweeping. It's interesting to note that according to the first nafkamina, the case of cheskosoy miskabed led to a leniency. According to this second nafkamina, the cheskosoy miskabed would lead to a stringency. V'chein hakesem v'chulei. And as we said before, we're going to deal with the blood stain found on a garment in a similar way that we dealt with the sheretz found in the movui. And Eibaya Laho, the Gemara asks, when the Mishnah says that we declare tumah retroactively until the last washing, ad shas kibus, cheskosoy boduk, is it that at the time of washing a person checks out to see if there are any stains? Oidilmo cheskosoy miskabes, or do you say that there is an assumed washing, an assumption that it gets washed out? Lamai nafgamina, what practical difference will there be? And again, you'll see numbers 1 and 2, two different cases where we present a practical difference. Well, the first case is Diomar Kibes Velo Bodak. I did wash it out, but I did not check out the garment at the time I did the rinsing or the washing. I amres cheskosoy boduk, if you say that there is an assumption that it had been checked out, but holo boduk, in this case he announced to us that he did not check it out, therefore the stain that I find now may very well have been there even before the washing. I amres cheskosoy miskabes, however, if you say there is an assumption that stains get rinsed, get washed out, ho miskabes, so it would have, if this stain was there, it would have been washed out. The fact that I see it now indicates that it came from after the rinsing time, and therefore there would be no retroactive tumah further back in time before the washing. Inami, another nafkamina would be deishtakcho besitra. The stain that I find now is found in a seam or in a fold in the garment. I amris cheskosoy boduk, if you say that there is an assumption that a checking took place, well, man de bodak, besitranami bodak, one who checks would check also in folds. And therefore, this stain that I find in the fold must have come about after the last washing. If you say that there is an assumption that stains get rinsed out, well, the citra lo miskabes, stains that are found in seams or in folds don't get washed out. My. So the question is asked, what is the resolution of our analysis. And in this source, you can see there is a double underlining, which highlights the expressions mitnei ma'omru, but they signify the two cases are featured here. We have the Sheretz case and the Kesem case. You'll notice that we are using again the marking of the house marking to highlight the words Sheretz and the word Kesem, as we did in the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Meir, Mipnei ma omru hasheretz shenimsa b'movui mitame lemafreya ad shiyomar bodakti es hamovui hazeh v'lo hoya bo sheretz oy ad shas kibud. Why is it that we say that the retroactive tumah regarding the sheretz found in the alleyway is retroactive just up till the time he can say, I checked out the Mavui and this Sheretz was not there, or until the last sweeping? Notice we've dashed underline the expression boidkin mivuisim. It is an assumption that at time of the sweeping they do a checking. If they did not do the checking, then there will be a loss. In other words, there'll be a tuma declaration which causes the loss of all things that need to be tohor. The mafreya means even is retroactively further in time, further back in time beyond the last sweeping. So that if there was no checking, we don't say the cheskosoi miskabed idea that we had mentioned earlier. So there is a need for an actual checking, and therefore, if a person declared that he did not do a checking, so, as we indicated earlier, there would be a declaration of tumah further back in time, even further, even before the last sweeping. And likewise, omru kesem shenimtza b'choluk mitam l'mafrei ad shiyomer b'abaktis b'choluk hazev lo yabo kesem oy ad shasa kibus. Why is it that with regard to the stain found on the garment, we are mitama retroactively until the last declaration of I checked it and did not see this kesem, or until the last washing? Mitnei, the reason is why we limit ourselves to the in the retroactive declaration till the last washing and not before, because mitnei shecheskas b'nei Yisrael boidkes chalukei and b'shas kfusehen, the Jewish women check their garments at the time of the washing. The im lo bodkoi, if they did not do a checking, hifsidu l'mafreya, then there will be a loss retroactively even before the time of the last washing. Rav Acha Omar, tachsor v'tichabsenu. Rav Acha says, if you found a stain now, and it wasn't checked at the time of the kibbutz, so if there was no checking at the time of the washing, and later on a stain was discovered, and you don't know whether this stain was there before the last washing, and therefore we would be metama even before that or not. So he says, rewash it right now. Im nidche mar isoi, if you see that it becomes duller as a result of my washing right now, biodua shela'achar kibus, you will know that it's a relatively recent stain, and therefore it wasn't there before the previous washing. V'im lav, if you see it maintains its hue, it doesn't change in color, so biodua shelifnei hakibus, you would know then this is an old stain that was there even before the last washing. Rebbe Omer, Eino dome kesem shelachar hakibus lekesem shelifnei hakibus. Rebbe says there is a difference between a stain that was there before the last washing as opposed to one that came after the last washing. Shezeh makdir, something that was after the last washing, makdir, let us correct ourselves. Shelifnei hakibus. Once again, there is a difference between a stain found, a stain that was that appeared after the last washing, as opposed to a stain that had been there before the last washing. A stain that you discover now, but it's makdir. Makdir means it penetrates into the garment. That is an indication that it was there before the last washing. If, however, you see a stain that is maglid, which would indicate a type of crusting, where it's not, it hasn't penetrated into the garment, but it's a superficial type stain that is maglid, that's an indication that it was not there before the previous washing, but is a more recent development. We see from this Tanaic source, though, Shmamino cheskosoi boduk Shmamino, that we go back to the time of the sweeping because there is an assumption that an actual checking takes place at that time. And hence, as we said before, if a person were to declare that at the time of the sweeping or at the time of the washing with regard to the kesem, the washing of the garment, a person declares, I did not do the checking, so then we'll be forced to say that the retroactive tumah will extend further back in time more than the last sweeping or the last rinsing. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, where our Dibur HaMaschil appears umetama bein lach v'chulei, Rabbi Shimon had said that something that you find lach, we are talking, of course, about in our Mishnah about kesem and sheretz. So he says, and we will qualify what this is really going on, but he said that that which you find damp or lach or fresh, eino mitame ela ad sho'o or ad sha'as sheyochol lios lach. If you find something damp now, so there won't be retroactive tumah other than the amount of time that the item found wet now would still have been wet. So in our Gemara, we saw Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo yishonu elo b'sheret, elo sheret. This idea of something that's found fresh, we say, will be metame retroactively only that amount of time that it could still have remained fresh or damp, is with regard to the sheretz, aval kesem, but with regard to the bloodstain, lach nami metame lemafreya. The bloodstain that you find damp now, we don't say that, well, if it would have, if it's damp now, then it couldn't have been here any more than, let's say, a half an hour, because otherwise it would have coagulated and become dry. We don't say that. Rather, we will go back retroactively to the last washing, Amar, because I will tell you that it's true you find it damp now, but really yovesh hoya, it was dry, and a dry kesem is a problem. It was dry, umaya nofil ole, and water fell on it, making it damp. So that you see a damp stain now, that is not an indication that it's a fresh stain. It might have actually been a dried out stain, and its dampness now is a function of water having fallen on it. The Gemara asks, Sheretz Nami, well, with regard to the Sheretz as well, Amar, why not say, Yovesh Hoya, this was a dry creature, Umaya Nofalole, and water fell on it, giving it the damp, the fresh appearance. And therefore, we're not going to limit our retroactive tumah to simply the amount of time that it would have remained damp, but we would go further back in time. The Gemara answers, Im iso dahochi hu, if it were so that the sheretz had it was really dried and had encountered water, imrituti imritit, it would have decomposed. The fact that I'm finding a fresh sheretz that's intact, it indicates that it died only very recently, and there's no reason to go further back in time in our retroactive tumah. Kol haksomim haboim mirekem tahorim. Bloodstains that you find that are from Rekem. Rekem is the name of a place, and the fact that the Mishnah is saying Tahorin, that they are Tor, indicates that Rekem was a place of idol worshippers. And the blood of idol worshipper women is Tohor. The concept or the realm of Tumah applies only to Jewish women. Rabbi Yehuda Mitame, Rabbi Yehuda declares it Tomit, Ne Shehem Gerim V'Toyin. The people of Rekem are associated with people that had converted, and Toyin, Rashi says, Shein Matsnian es Kismayim. They don't put them away. They don't hide them. They don't Matsnias to put something away, but they rather leave them around. So that, being that Rabbi Yehuda views them as Gerim, and they don't put away their stains, we have to assume that they are Tomei. Haboyin mibein ho'ovdei kechovim tohorim, stains that come from amongst Gentiles are tohor, mibein Yisrael u'mibein hakusim, if they come from amongst the Jews or the Kusim. The Kusim are a people that historically had converted to Judaism, and there are some questions behind those circumstances, and we will see a more allusion to that in our Gemara. Rabbi Meir mitame, Rabbi Meir will declare tome, the stains coming from amongst the Yisrael, which is fairly obvious, and from the Kusim, v'chachomim mitarim, mitnei shelo nechshedu al kismeim. If you find stains amongst the Jews or the Kusim, the Chachomim declare them tor, because they are not suspect of leaving around stains that come from Nida. So the Jewish or Kusi stains would have been hidden away, or they would have been washed out and not left around. So if you find stains left around, they are not associated with a source of Tumah. Kaposik Vitani, the Mishnah teaches that those stains that come from Ovdei Kechavim are Tohor, and it says in an unqualified fashion, Afilu Mitarmud, even from a place called Tarmud. That shows us that the people from Tarmud are total Gentiles. Omar Rabbi Yochanan will appreciate this idea of saying that they're total Gentiles from the continuation of the Gemara. And that is that which Rabbi Yochanan says, or Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Zoy Soymeres, this shows us, Mekablin Gerim Mitarmud, that Tarmud being that they're total Gentiles, they are, we can in fact accept converts from that location. Conversion is an option that is available to someone that is a Gentile. He has the option of converting to Judaism. And Rabbi Yochanan makes that conclusion from the fact that our Mishnah says that stains that come from Ovdei Kechavim are Tohor. Now, what is it that we are not saying? So Rashi points out, let's look together at the Rashi. Zoy Soymeres Mekablin Gerim Min HaTarmud. Uksherim lova bakol, and they're acceptable to come and join the Jewish people. For lo amrinon, and we do not say mamzerim hein shinis arvu bevenois aseres hashvotim the oivik yichovim ve'evet habo al bas Yisrael havlad mamzer. We don't say that the people of Tarmud are descendants of the 10 tribes that mixed into the population and cohabited with idol worshippers and slaves. For this approach says that a Jewish woman, someone who was from the Aseres HaShvatim, from the 10 tribes, who were Jewish people, of course, but had cohabited and produced children with Gentiles, that would have resulted in Mamzerus. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, we don't say that about the area of Tarmud. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this so? Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, the Savio. Savio is a name. The Amri Travayo, these two say, Ein Mekamun Gerim Tarmud, that we are not to accept Gerim from Tarmud, because We didn't point out earlier, but if there is a chashash mamzerus, a mamzer is someone that's not allowed to marry into or amongst the Jewish people. Once a person is a mamzer, he is excluded from marrying into the Jewish people. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan says that we don't accept converts from Talmud. So what exactly is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? V'chitema, you might want to resolve this by saying Zois v'loi svirole, that when Rabbi Yochanan said that our Mishnah teaches that we're makabel gerim from Talmud, is that's our Mishnah's opinion, but I don't accept it. V'homer Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan himself says halachik stam Mishnah, that we are to follow those Mishnayos that don't carry names with them. So that in this section of the Mishnah, which says haboyin mibein ovdei kochavim, stains that come from amongst ovdei kochavim are tohor, there is no name associated with that statement. That's a stam Mishnah, and hence it is authoritative. So that Rabbi Yochanan, we wouldn't say that Rabbi Yochanan says that that's the Mishnah's opinion, we won't accept it, because we are to accept that as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned. So we have a stira right now regarding Rabbi Yochanan's stance with regard to Talmud. The Gemara answers, Amoroi ninhu valibo de Rabbi Yochanan. What we are seeing here in the Gemara is the representation of two opinions as to what Rabbi Yochanan's own stance really is. Two later Amoroyim and their representation or their presentation of Rabbi Yochanan. Mibein Yisrael v'chule. Our Mishnah said that stains that come from amongst Yisrael and amongst the Kusim, so the Chachamim declared that they are Tohar. The Gemara goes on and asks, V'rabonan, according to the Rabbonan, E, the Yisrael Mitari, if you are going to declare stains that come from the Jewish people as being Tohar, and if anything, the Jewish people would be the basis or the source of Tumah. So if you're going to declare stains from the Jewish people as Tohar, so Deman Mitamu, so who in the world would, yes, be Tomei? After all, Tumah, the rules of Tumah and Tara were stated by the Jewish people. So if you're going to say the Jewish ones are Torah, then certainly anyone else is. So what room are you leaving for Tumah? Chisurei mechaser v'hochi kotani. So we have to reread the Mishnah as follows. Mibein Yisrael Tomei. Stains that come from a Jewish community, those are assumed to be Tomei. Mibein HaKusim. If you find stains amongst the Kusim, Rabbi Meir Mitama, Rabbi Meir declares them to be Tomei. The Kusim Geirei Emes Hein. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the Kusi Geirus, the Kusi conversion, this is, as we said, a people that joined the ranks of the Jews, that their conversion was a reliable conversion, and therefore their blood stains will be Tomei. V'chomim Mitarin. The Chomim say, no, blood stains that come from amongst the Kusi people are Tor. The Kusim Geirei Arroyos Hein. Which, without getting into any historical background, all we will say for right now is that the Kusi conversion was questionable at the very outset. That's the expression, without translating, Geirei Arroyos Hein. That means for us, without the translation, it means that their original conversion was problematic, and hence they are not considered Jews, and therefore we can metaher their stains. E hachi. Well, if this is the pshat, then that which it said in the Mishnah, you'll notice we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. It mentioned that the tahara associated with the kusim was because of their not being choshud on leaving around their stains. Why do you say that? Yochi shelo nechshedu al kismehem. Rather, Geirei Arroyos Miboyale, the Mishnah should have said that the Chachamim are Metaher, their stains, is because they aren't really Jews. So what is the point of Shelo Nechshedu Al Kismayim doing over here? Ela Hachi Ka'amar. Rather, let's read the Mishnah thusly. Mibein Yisrael Umibein Hakusim Temeim. Stains that come from amongst the Jews and from the Kusim as well are Tomei, the Kusim Geirei Emes Hein. The Kusim conversion was a good conversion, and hence they became Jews. Hanimtsoyin Ba'orei Yisrael Tahorim. If you find stains in exposed places in Jewish communities, Torim, those stains are not tor. Shelo nechshedu al kismein v'atznui matzni lehu. Jews are not suspect on leaving around problematic stains, but rather they would hide them, they would keep them unexposed. Hanimtsoi b'ori kusim, stains that are found in exposed places in kusi towns, Rabbi Meir metame, Rabbi Meir would declare them to be tome. The nechshedu al kismeim, they are suspect in leaving around their stains in open places. V'chachomim mitaharin shelo nechshedu al kismeim. The chachomim declare tohor those stains that are left in exposed places, because Jews, the kusim, are not suspect in leaving around their stains in open places. The Mishnah: Kol haksamim hamtzoyim b'chol mokoyim tahorim. Stains found in it, we're talking where it says b'chol mokom, Rashi explains, in Jewish locations. So stains found in Jewish locales, in any place in a Jewish locale, tahorim chutz min hamtzoyim b'chadorim u'besfivos beis hatmeis, except for stains that are found in rooms and stains found in Beis HaTmeis. Now, Beis HaTmeis, Rashi says, is a room that women would use when they were in a state of Tumah. So, in places like that, in hidden places, or in these special rooms that that women concentrated themselves when they were Tumah, that then we have to assume Tumah regarding the stains. Beis HaTmeis shel kusim, the Beis HaTmeis of the Kusi people, mitamin be'oyel. There's an additional tuma concern there, is that upon entrance one would become tame. Ohel literally is the roof or the overhang, the fact that I'm overshadowed by a structure like a roof. So in the case of the rooms of the Kusi, the Beis HaTuma rooms, there would be tumas oihel mitnei shem kuivrim shom es hanefilim. They bury their miscarriages over there, and a child that's born in a stillborn or a miscarriage is mitame ba'oihel, and they felt that there is no need to bring them to a cemetery, as the Gemara will discuss on the next omid. So they would bury their miscarriages over there, thereby generating tumas oihel. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, lohiu kuivrim elo mashlichin, they didn't bury them there, they would just throw them, v'chaya gwaroso, and animals can be assumed to come and drag them away. After all, it's a flesh that animals would eat. Ne'monim loymar kovarnu shom es hanefilim oy loy kovarnu. There is believability for someone to say that we did or did not bury our miscarriages there. Ne'monim lomar al habehema im bochra im lo bochra. They are believed to say regarding an animal that it, whether or not it already experienced its first birth. And the nafkamina there would be, if I buy an animal from them and they told me that it already produced its firstborn, so the next birth that takes place in my domain, I would not have to suspect this as being a firstborn, and I would therefore be able to keep it for myself, as opposed to the rule of Bechor, which states a firstborn male animal is to be given to a Kohen. Nemonim al tziun kvoros, they are believed with regard to demarcations of graves. The ein nemonim lo al haschochos vo al haprois vo al beis hapras, but they're not believed with regard to schochos. The Gemara will explain has to do with branches that overhang, where there's a series of branches and there may be a grave under one of the branches. They are not believed to say that there is or there is not a grave under this particular branch. That's the schochos, and the pros have to do with stones protruding from a wall under which one of the stones there may be a grave. So they are not believed to with regard to delineating or demarking which stone has the grave, and nor are they believed with regard to the Beis HaPras, that is a field in which there is a grave that we don't know where it's located.
Zehaklal, Dover Shechashudin Bo Ein Nemonamolov. The rule pertaining to the Kusim is something that they themselves are suspect of, that they don't observe, so they are not believed to say testimony regarding it with regard to others. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.